One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hey, hey, it's Shay Keister, and I'm your host for Casual Cattle Conversations, where we talk about all things related to ranching through sharing the stories and practices of different ranchers and their operations. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in for another one. And in the spirit of giving, we are going to visit with Jerry Wolf today. Jerry has spent much of his time giving back to organizations within the beef industry and is a well-known leader as well. Today, he's going to share his story and advice on why you should become a leader in the beef industry and how you can get started with that. Remember to follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and give me a like, share, shout out, comment. Let me know the episodes you like. Just let me know what you want to hear. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for the support this year. I hope you have some amazing holidays. And with that, let's get on with the episode. But first, let's hear from this episode's sponsor, the Red Angus Association of America. Value-added programs are on the rise in the beef industry as input costs increase and margins remain tight. Enterprising producers are exploring new ways to improve their return on investment and open doors to new marketing avenues. The Red Angus Feeder Calf Certification Program, the longest-running tagging program in the industry, is expanding and helping more producers earn premiums on their calves. The FCCP combines three important components into a single value-added program: genetics, source and age verification. Cattle producers recognize the value of the yellow FCCP tag and continue to see market-topping premiums for a minimal investment by enrolling their Red Angus sire calves. For more information on Red Angus marketing programs and the FCCP, please visit redangus.org. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Would you please explain your background with ranching and what you're doing today?
So I was born into the cattle business. My father, the late Leonard Wolf, was in the cattle business year I was born. So I've spent my entire life in the cattle business. We started out as cattle feeders and then acquired our first pasture land and got some beef cows. Actually started out with a few sheep back in the late 60s. And I've been in the cattle business now for nearly six decades.
So you were the second generation?
I am, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I have several brothers. Some of them are my business partners. So I'm in business with other family members, but yes, be the second generation of this operation.
Okay. So can you describe a little bit more about what your operation is like today?
Yeah. So we used to go under the name of Leonard Wolf and Sons. Then we went under Wolf Cattle Company, and now it's just Wolf Cattle. But we see ourselves as a beef company that's involved in nearly all segments of beef production up until processing. We have a genetics herd. We have a ranch that now in Nebraska, where we run right at 2,500 registered cows. We're selling between 600 and 700 bulls a year. We also sell in semen, thousands of units of semen to dairies across the country. And then we procure a lot of those crossbred cattle back and feed those cattle out to our feed yards, marketing right at about 100,000 fed cattle a year. Most of them, well, they're all source verified cattle, and most of them are verified for a value added program.
Okay, awesome. So what's your role in your business today or your ranch today? Because you've got a lot going on there.
Yeah, it's grown substantially over the years. And, I've done lots of different pieces of it through my career. I'm now, having been in, for over half a century, I've evolved into, I'm part owner, so I'm a partner. And I would say I would serve as an advisor to those that are doing the day-to-day, the heavy lifting and running the company.
Awesome. What I really would like to talk to you about today is you've served on many beef industry organizations and leadership boards. So can you talk a little bit about the different organizations you've served on within the beef industry?
Yeah. Okay. So, kind of in order from when I started serving in leadership roles in the beef industry. You know, nearly 20 years ago now, I served as feeder council chairman for the Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association, which we've been proactive in my whole career. And then I've was part of the National Beef Quality Audit over the years, and I've served on that advisory board. I've been on the, for NCBA, I've been on the BQA, Beef Quality Assurance Advisory Board now for 3 years for NCBA. And more recently, I was part of a group of about 15 that articulated a long-range plan for the beef industry, which was a year-long project that we just launched here last summer, called the Long Range Planning Committee for NCBA. Then on the genetic side, I should have mentioned, we raise primarily limousine cattle. We do raise some Angus and then some Limflex limousine Angus hybrid cattle. But I've served several terms as a board of directors and then also on multiple committees and chaired committees for the North American Limousine Foundation. So, yeah.
Well, that is certainly a lot. And what is it that makes you want to serve these organizations? Why do you do it?
Well, I would say just somebody needs to do it, right? And you know, I would say I enjoy doing it, but I feel more obligated to do it than because, you know, I want to do it, you know. So I'm a strong believer, we are strong believers in having healthy organizations, you know, that working together with our peers, our colleagues, other producers. You know, we're stronger working together as organizations than all trying to row our own boat. So just being part of that is what's motivated Jerry to do this.
Well, absolutely. So how has serving in these different roles impacted your cattle operation?
The operation at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say in multiple ways. I mean, it's allowed us to stay abreast of new trends. I mean, anytime you're active, you're at meetings, you're part of a planning committee. I mean, you do a lot of research. It keeps you on the front edge of what's new, changes that are coming, and allows you to carry that message back to the own operation. And then, you know, I'll probably repeat this again before we're done, Shay, but, you know, unless we have a strong industry and our industry is thriving, it's hard to have a strong business. So it'd just be the ripple effect or the trickle-down effect from just having a more vibrant industry.
Yeah. So you've talked about how it's helped you bring back these industry trends to your operation, but with other employees and being in more of like an advising or management position, how has serving on these boards and being a leader there helped you impact the leadership on your ranch?
Good question. So I would say the best way it's helped, the biggest way it's helped is, you know, when I'm serving on these, in these roles with the organization, that usually involves leaving the company, leaving our sites, and traveling to meetings. You know, if not that, you know, more recently with COVID, right up with virtual meetings, I stay out of their way. I get out of their way, okay? And empower others, you know, empower the younger ones, the next generation, to make decisions and allow them to become the chief decision makers and allow them to make mistakes. You know, I think that's one of the best things that an older generation can do to hand off the operation at home to the younger generation is empower them to make decisions without us being there.
Well, that's awesome. So did you have any mentors when you were starting out that kind of led you to know that you need to be a part of these other organizations, or even a mentor to you when you were beginning to transition into different roles on the ranch?
Yeah, I mean, the chief mentor in my life was my father, the late Leonard Wolf, and he was very proactive himself. So number one, he showed me, you know, how to get out of my way, allow me to make the day-to-day decisions at home, and then also set the example and blaze the trail, if you will, of the importance of serving, you know, serving in organizations and doing our part and not being a freeloader, but showing up and being part of the team that makes things happen. So, yeah, he was chairman of the Minnesota Beef Council for 11 years. He served on various committees for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and also served two terms on the North American Limousine Foundation board. So, and then I would say, you know, when you start showing up at meetings, volunteering to help, I mean, there's just a ton of opportunity to get involved. You know, other peers, you know, both my generation and I would say an older generation that I watched serve, you know, not only my father, but those around him then. There would be a lot of mentors, too numerous to mention.
Well, that's amazing to hear. So you've talked about serving, you know, for Minnesota state councils and on the national level. What about from a more community standpoint or local standpoint? What have you done with that?
Yeah, well, never been on the school board. And again, having a larger or having other family members in the business, you know, I would say we've divvied things out a bit. So I had a brother that served on the school board for a long time. And now I have a nephew that's currently serving on the school board. You know, we've been very proactive, you know, in our church. And then been proactive my entire life with 4-H and FFA, especially as our children were coming through there, you know, helping participate, contribute where we can. And, you know, I would say local Farm Bureau, we have a local Cattlemen's Association that's very proactive. You know, we've always been involved in that. And that is an affiliate of both our local cattlemen, which is called West Central Minnesota Cattlemen's Association, is an affiliate of our state association, which is an affiliate of our NCBA, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And there's honestly over the years been a lot of policy, a lot of resolutions that we've submitted on a local level that have went through the channels and have went from our local association to the State Cattlemen's Association on to NCBA and have been passed that started out on a grassroots level. So been a very strong proponent of participating in all levels of organizations and leadership.
Yeah, and that's an outstanding example of how things can start at a local level. But what other value do you see being involved in organizations on all these different levels? And specifically, I mean, you're talking about a wide variety of organizations when you talk about church council and school boards all the way up through your cattle industry organizations. So what else do you get from that, or what's the value?
Yeah, well, so being involved on all levels, you know, again, I mentioned earlier, part of it is done out of obligation. Now, I don't come along, you know, kicking and screaming. I'm excited to participate. And, you know, just the satisfaction that you're one of a larger team and you're helping out, helping shape the future, mm-hmm. and not being a freeloader of the work of others. And hopefully leaving a better industry, a better company, a better community, whatever segment we're talking about that we've been involved in, for those that are coming behind us and leading by example for those others that might be watching us, whether known to us or unknown to us. And then as far as serving on, let's take the cattlemen, for example, on both a local level, a state level, and a national level, if you serve it, it's pretty hard to serve, especially at the higher levels, without starting at the local level. Because if you start at the local level, you're closer to the ground and more in tune with what the day-to-day challenges and dynamics are. That message needs to be carried to a higher level. The other thing, by serving on a higher level and participating on a more local organization, is you can then be the communicator that brings the message from a higher level organization like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association back to your local cattleman for those that may not have the opportunity to serve on a national level. You'd be the communicator for going both ways.
Well, that is a unique position and sounds like a great experience. What has been your favorite part about being a leader throughout your life?
The favorite part for me and all this, you know, I would say if I could answer with one word, would be networking. So networking with other people, other producers, and that can be anywhere from something that we can take home to our own organization. You know, you might find, we find others that we ended up doing business deals with, to just opening up my mind to bigger and broader ideas by hearing what other people think, what they're dealing with for problems, challenges, and more importantly, what's their vision for resolve and what a better future for our industry looks like. You know, just get multiple minds together. You're hitching the horses all together versus plowing separately, right? So yeah, that's been really, really good for me over the years.
Well, that's awesome. So what's your advice for the younger generation in terms of how we can become more involved in leadership within the beef industry?
Yeah, good question. So my advice to the younger generation or anyone, you're never too old to get involved, okay? So if you haven't been involved, but, you know, it's pretty simple. Just show up. I've had a saying for years. I believe my dad coined it, the world's run by those who show up. So, you know, start at a local level, show up. There's always work to do. Trust me, if you're willing to pitch in and help, there'll be a place you can volunteer. And as you volunteer and then rub shoulders with other leaders, if you have the passion and desire and want to step into a leadership role and get involved, you know, maybe first on a committee level and then potentially later on an officer level, there'll be plenty of opportunity. And we're always looking for good people to get involved. So just show up and get involved, participate.
Well, thank you for that. Do you have any other advice or any other messages that you would like to let the listeners hear?
Yeah, I mean, Shay, it'll probably be somewhat repetitive, but I would just like to close with advice of get involved. I really believe that as an organization, we're stronger working together. And unless we have a healthy, vibrant industry, it's hard for us to thrive within that industry. Same with the community. Unless we have a healthy, vibrant community, it's hard to thrive within that community. It's all necessary. You know, God put us here to be servants. So serve, help one another, work together, and the world will be a better place for all of us.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time out of your day to visit with me and share your experiences and messages with everyone who listens to this podcast.
Thank you again to this episode's sponsor, the Red Angus Association of America. Growing and developing young bulls continues to be an ever-evolving process. How these bulls are raised has a huge impact on their success and longevity as they serve in commercial cow herds around the nation. As genetics change and are better characterized through genomically enhanced EPDs, Seed stock producers are able to make more accurate bull development decisions. The Red Angus Association of America has authored an industry-focused white paper to provide seed stock breeders with greater understanding and perspective on bull development process. Red Angus recognizes the importance of moving the industry forward. Thus, a white paper on this important subject can offer valuable perspective concerning how seed stock producers should approach bull development now and in the coming years. Why All the Fat Bulls? Is available exclusively at redangus.org and explores insights gathered from bull sales across the nation, as well as data garnered from breeder surveys. And that's a wrap on that. I hope you enjoyed and got so much from listening to Jerry for that short amount of time. He certainly said a lot and offered so much advice and experience within this interview. With that, take care. Remember to give me a like, share, shout out, follow me on social media, and enjoy your holidays. Spend time with family if you can, and count your blessings. Have a great day. Merry Christmas. I tell my mind.